FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
Guest Kaylee McEnany from the RNC, at Kaylee McEnany on Twitter. Kaylee, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You know, I just had Josh Hawley on, who is, of course, our Republican U.S. Senate candidate here in Missouri, trying to take out Claire McCaskill. He was making the argument that he's concerned the Senate might be in play here and trying to stress to people how important this race is in Missouri.
Well, he's exactly right to do that. I mean, the polling is a lot closer than any of us would like for it to be. And it's important that we have voters turn out, and they will only turn out if we emphasize just how important the stakes are, just how close the election is. Josh Hawley is a great candidate, and Claire McCaskill is one of the most vulnerable senators in the nation. And the new Fox poll that came out showed her up by just 3 points, basically within the margin of error. And still 8% of Missouri voters are undecided. So, it's really important to get out and materialize those 8% for Josh Hawley and the Republican agenda.
I don't know any of those people. I don't understand people who in a world we live in today where things are so clear to me between what's right and what's not, and how one candidate would vote and how the other candidate has voted, how you could be a month away from an election, a month and a half, and not know yet how you're going to vote. I don't know who these undecided people are. I just want to take them and shake them by the shoulders.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, to make matters worse, of those who are decided, 27% of Missouri voters in that Fox poll said that they could still change their mind. So a lot more than just that 8% undecided. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things to watch in Missouri in particular is how Claire McCaskill is going to vote on Judge Kavanaugh, because of those persuadable voters, if you'll call them that, about a third of them said if she votes against Kavanaugh, they will not support her. So this is a really big vote for her, and, you know, we'll see what happens, but it would be insane for her politically not to vote for this nominee.
Yeah, I think that will end up being completely a political decision on her part. And if it's not going to come down to her vote, it only helps her politically to go ahead and vote in favor of him. Did you see the comments yesterday from Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I did, and I appreciated them. You know, it's very rare that I agree with RBG, as we call her, but that was a moment, and good for her for standing up and saying this has just gotten way too partisan, and it's pretty much shameful.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that completely. You know, I saw that yesterday, more of these Peter Strzok, Lisa Page text messages came out. Joe DiGenova and some others have come out, including Lindsey Graham, saying this looks like a textbook case for a special prosecutor. What's the RNC's take on that? Or should we be more concerned that there isn't more outrage over what's gone on at the top levels of the FBI?
Oh, undoubtedly. Why is there not outrage? It's a great question. I mean, we see nearly every day some new concerning text message or story break with regard to the FBI and the DOJ, and it's by and large ignored. I mean, the fact that Peter Strzok and others were leaking information to the media, along with Andy McCabe, let's not forget that he leaked information to the media, lied about it to the IG, and now there was a special counsel convened to look into Andy McCabe's wrongdoing. But unfortunately, the only one who seems to have any care for what's going on at the FBI is that inspector general. The DOJ is just absent on this. Maybe because Bruce Ohr is within their ranks. Bruce Ohr, of course, used the dossier, got it from his wife. It was used as the basis of a FISA warrant. But yes, you know, I'm very concerned that there's no action on the part of the DOJ here.
Very strange. You know, I did speak to Judicial Watch. Chris Farrell was on earlier. He talked about how difficult a time they've had dragging this information out of the FBI. I really hoped that, you know, when President Trump took over and there were some different people in charge there, that would not be such a task. But it does bring questions to mind as to why there's such continued pushback from within the FBI to get some of this information out in the public.
Yeah, you do have to wonder why. And also with the DOJ, you know, Jeff Sessions is there. The president repeatedly expresses frustration with him, and for good reason. You know, it appears that the person running the Justice Department is not the person appointed by the president, confirmed by the U.S. Senate, but Rod Rosenstein, the second in command, seems to be controlling things over there. And I think that that's why we see a lot of inaction. And I understand the frustration, Lindsey Graham, the president, and Republicans generally.
You know, the news that's breaking at this moment is the fact that Paul Manafort has pleaded guilty to a couple of criminal counts today and is supposedly has struck some sort of a plea bargain with Robert Mueller. Further example to me that we've spent millions of dollars now and we've uncovered tax fraud that's 10 years old. Why do we continue to have to put up with this? It's frustrating.
It is frustrating, especially because it seems to be partisan geared, because where is the interest in looking into Tony Podesta, who did a lot of work with Paul Manafort, who was a business partner, you could almost call him. And Tony Podesta, of course, tied into the Clinton world, but he seems to have evaded any sort of scrutiny from the special counsel. This seems to be uniquely partisan, geared towards finding a crime of collusion that just clearly does not exist. There is no evidence of it. So instead, they go and find someone who was briefly a campaign manager during a convention, go and find personal wrongdoing in his finances from years before he was ever involved with the campaign. If that's not, by definition, a witch hunt, I'm not sure what to call it.
Yeah, that's very true. Let me turn the attention real quick to hurricanes and recovery and FEMA and all of that. There is no issue the Democrats won't latch on to and try to attack on this president. The FEMA funding from 5 months ago being transferred to ICE, the debate over the death toll in Puerto Rico, the concern in advance that we're not going to adequately respond to Hurricane Florence. I mean, you could make a laundry list of things that they want to blame the president for this hurricane happening in the first place. That'll be next.
Yeah, that's right. And that actually has already happened. You have the Washington Post editorial board coming out and saying the president is complicit in Hurricane Florence. I mean, what an insane thing to say, as if he's sitting there with a wind machine in the White House, you know, concocting a natural disaster. It's absolutely insane, absolutely ridiculous. They will go to no lengths to turn what should be a unifying moment to come around the Carolinas and all say we're here to support you and volunteer and help, rather than using it in that way to, you know, really express concern for the Carolinas. It's being used as a partisan talking point. It's being used as a political weapon, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. Kaylee, thank you so much for your time. Do you want to mention your new book you've got out?
Yeah, it's called The New American Revolution, The Making of a Populist Movement. You can get it at Amazon or in Barnes & Noble, and I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Kaylee, always good to talk to you. Thank you.